Welcome to Wireless Mobile Services. How may we help you today?
Yes, I want to book a room at the hotel.
I'm sorry, sir. You've called Wireless Mobile Services, so we can't help you with that.
What? Why not? I called the number on the promo letter I received.
You've called a cell phone company, not a hotel.
Why won't you help me? I just want to book a room, and it says to call this number.
Sir, we're not a hotel. We have cell phones. I'm sure the hotel can assist you with booking a room if you call the correct number.
Why can't you help me? Is it because you are completely booked?
Yes, that's why.
Okay, I'll call somebody else then.
You know, sometimes we approach God the same way. We have our minds made up, and we don't bother listening to what He's trying to tell us.
If we're only coming into the presence of God to speak to God and not have God speak to us, we're bringing the sacrifice of a fool.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Today, Charles Tapp challenges you to reflect in the way you approach God with your prayers and sacrifices. Do you come to Him with humility or with demands? Listen in as he shares this message based on a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes titled, The Sacrifice of Fools.
As a preacher, I can tell you that we are always on the lookout for good sermon material. And as you can imagine, we find it in some of the strangest of places. I find it many times while out gardening. I love to garden. Any gardeners here today? I feel closest to God when I'm in the dirt, when I can feel the soil in between my fingers and in my nails. There's something about being in the dirt that makes me feel closest to God. I find a lot of sermon material in the news, whether watching it on television or reading it in print. And of course, I find a lot of the material that comes directly from the Word of God. Nevertheless, as important as the sermon material is to crafting a well-developed sermon, I believe, or at least for me, choosing the right title for the sermon is of equal importance. For some reason, now this is for me, it's extremely challenging to write a sermon if I do not have the right title. And what I mean by the right title is I'm talking about something that catches and grabs people's attention. Something that helps the message to come to life. Something that expresses the essence of the biblical text. If you got a title that can do all that, then you are on your way. But here's the challenge. Many preachers confuse the title with the topic. The title of today's message, The Sabbath. That makes me really want to stop, doesn't it? What if we took that topic and gave it a catchy title like The Rest of Your Life? You like that? You can't use it. I already have it. It's my own. Something that grabs your attention. Like I said, for me, I can't write until I have a title that makes me go, Sometimes it comes from the everyday things of life. But then there are those special and unique times where I find the title right within the passage itself. And this is where we find ourselves today. The moment I read this passage in Ecclesiastes, I knew exactly what my title would be. Let's take a look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, as we look at verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give, here it is, what? The sacrifice of fools. When I read that, I said, that's it. That's the title. For it goes on to say, for they do not know that they do evil. The sacrifice of fools. I wish I had come up with that on my own, because that's catchy. It makes you want to stop and ask the question, then what is the sacrifice of fools? I want to know more. But here's the thing. The verse doesn't tell us. It simply makes the statement, the sacrifice of fools. Truth be told, even when you go through the entire book of Ecclesiastes, the writer never comes out and says, this is what I mean by the sacrifice of fools. You really have to go through the entire book of Ecclesiastes before you're able to understand what he means here in chapter 5 and verse 1 when he says, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. Ecclesiastes, as many of you know, is a very interesting book for several reasons, the first of which is the debate over who actually is the writer of this book. Some believe it is Solomon, others believe that is a king probably after Solomon, but many theologians believe that it's Solomon, and I believe that as well. Because Ecclesiastes never comes out and says, this is Solomon. He simply refers to himself as the preacher or the teacher, and that's what the name Ecclesiastes means. It means teacher. And there are many verses throughout the book of Ecclesiastes that have become well known. Many, I'm sure you have no idea that it was actually found here in the book of Ecclesiastes. For instance, Ecclesiastes 1:18, it says, for with much wisdom comes much what? Sorrow. That's in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, remember now what? The days of your youth, your creator, in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes 1:9, there is nothing new what? Under the sun. That's from Ecclesiastes. But the one verse that is probably the most familiar of all, the one that best describes what Ecclesiastes is really all about, has to be, without a doubt, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. Vanity of what? Vanity, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, in a very real sense, is giving his readers a reality check, if you please. For as you read Ecclesiastes, it becomes very clear. It becomes apparent at times that he sounds very cynical in his tone. And part of Solomon's appeal is that he comes across in Ecclesiastes as being blatantly honest. Blatantly honest about how he really feels. Oh, if we could have that quality in the church today. To be blatantly honest about how we feel, especially how we feel when it comes to our relationship with God. For if we're truly honest with ourselves, most of us would have to admit that we do not have it all figured out. There are times in our journey, I don't care how long you've been walking with God, I don't care how faithful God has been, there are times you doubt that God even exists. Let's just be honest today. Solomon has no problem sharing with his readers his doubts, especially when it comes to this life. And as he looks at over the scope of his life, the wisest man who ever lived says, you know what, when it comes to life, it's vanity. Vanity. Not just some of it, he says, all of it is vanity. Some translations, especially the King James, render this as meaningless, but that doesn't really give the real essence of this word here. The word Solomon uses in the Hebrew is the word hevel. Hevel. It means a vapor or a smoke. And he's simply saying here that life is hevel. And he uses this word 38 times as a metaphor to describe how life is. Not meaningless, but it's like a vapor. It's temporary. It's fleeting. Today you're here, tomorrow you're not. It's like an enigma. It's like a paradox. It appears to be something that is solid, something that has content, but when you reach out to grab it, there's really nothing there. Hevel. It's like smoke. It's like a vapor. In other words, what Solomon is saying about life is that it's unpredictable. That life, and he's being honest with himself and his readers, that life is unstable. That life is like chasing after the wind. You can never really get a grip on life. Who knows that to be true? Because no sooner than you think you've had a grip on life, you wake up to discover you don't have a grip on life. Life's got a grip on you. Hevel. All in life is hevel. It's like when you finally get your finances in order, when your kids are finally out of your house and out of your pockets. Amen? You can be honest. When college tuition is no more, and now you're finally able to say, now we will take our finances and we will experience life. And then some emergency happens that takes away all the money you had saved up. And I know somebody out there saying, well, God provided the money because he knew that was going to happen. I get that. But sometimes you just want to get a grip on life instead of life always getting a grip on you. Amen? And please don't miss this. Solomon here in Ecclesiastes is not speaking like a spectator, but he's speaking as a scientist who has tested out his theory in the laboratory of life. And Solomon, in his quest to find the true meaning of life, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that he left no stone unturned. He looked to education, couldn't find it. Looked to intellectualism, still it was hevel. Looked to finding pleasure in its various forms, still hevel. Having acquired much and great worth, he still said at the end of the day, it was hevel. Power and fame and prestige, it was hevel. You know, today we have fake fame by how many likes you get on social media. I'm famous. That's hevel. What does it mean? Well, I've got 1,000 likes. Did you get $1,000 for those 1,000 likes? So what does it mean? It's hevel. It's hevel. Solomon says, I went after all of that. Trust me. And I'm telling you, it's like a vapor of smoke. Reach out and try to grab it, and it dissipates. He says, I've tried relationship after relationship and all kinds of relationships, and I discovered it's still hevel. And at the end of the day, Solomon feels as though all of life is hevel, that there's nothing of substance to really grab onto. Have you ever felt that way? Let's just be honest. You grab hold of the things that fall into the category of life as being good and beautiful, but then something that you're enjoying, tragedy strikes and it just takes it all away. Poof. You fight for justice. You fight for what's right. You fight for what ought to be. But then bad things still happen to good people. When I was pastoring in New York and we were doing a radio program there in Brooklyn, the program that got the biggest response from our listeners was, why do bad things happen to good people? You can do everything right, Solomon says, and still end up in life with the short end of the stick. It's hevel. It's hevel. You can spend your entire life working and saving your money so that you can enjoy the good things of life later. It's all hevel, because then you die and someone else gets your money.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Sacrifice of Fools. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And today, Charles Tapp challenges you to reflect in the way you approach God with your prayers and sacrifices. Do you come to him with humility or with demands? Listen in as he concludes this message based on a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes titled, The Sacrifice of Fools.
Listen, the book of Ecclesiastes is not a book for the faint of heart, because at first glance, it's depressing. Have you read it? I mean, straight through. Don't read it at night because you might have nightmares. But it's a depressing book. It will even cause you to ask questions like, why is it even in the sacred canon to begin with? Why did God allow this book of Ecclesiastes to be among the many in the Old Testament? Well, here's what I believe is the reason. Solomon presents throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, it's humankind's pursuit of meaning and purpose, the meaning and purpose of life without God. In other words, Solomon is saying, I did all these things because I was trying to find the real meaning and purpose of life apart from God. I'm running after money, I'm running after relationships, I'm running after power and fame, but they're all hevel because I have detached myself from God. And when I read Ecclesiastes, not only do I hear the voice of a teacher here, please hear me today, I also hear the voice of a parent as well. Parents, how many times have we said to our children, you don't need to go down that road because we've already been down that road, and we know that that road will only lead to your destruction. So you need to go down this road. How many times have we said that as parents? You don't need to do that. I've already traveled that road. And as children, our parents said the same thing to us. You don't need to go and try that. We've tried that. But do our children always listen? Did we always listen? That's what Solomon is saying here. He's not just a teacher. He's speaking as a parent. And we're like his children. Don't run after money and fame and power and intellectualism and relationship after relationship after relationship, thinking that you're going to discover the meaning of life. It's hevel. It's like smoke. It's like a vapor. Poof. He says, if you really want to understand the meaning of life and to have all of this stuff that seems so unpredictable make sense, it will only make sense in the context of having a relationship with God. Solomon is saying to us, learn from my mistakes. Learn that there's nothing in this life that has true and lasting substance apart from our relationship with God. And he goes on and repeats that theme throughout the book of Ecclesiastes by saying there's nothing new under the sun. And this is how the book ends, when he lets us know that the only thing that can help us make sense out of this life, this evil, is being in relationship with God. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Look at what he says, the very end of the book. He says, let us hear what? The conclusion, not of some, but of the whole matter as it relates to life. Here's the real answer. It's not the stuff, it's this. He says, fear God and do what? Keep his commandments, for this is man's all. And this, I want us to look at in the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version lately has become one of my favorite versions. Look at how it reads in the Amplified. When all has been heard, the end of the matter is, meaning after I've gone through all of this pursuit trying to find the true meaning of life only to find smoke that dissipated, I've discovered what it really is. Fear God. Amen? Worship him with awe-filled reverence. That's what it means to fear God, to reverence him, to worship him, and keep his commandments, for this applies to every person. And this serves as a perfect segue to our original question. You remember what the question was? What does Solomon mean when he talks about the sacrifice of fools? Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 to verse 3. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give, here it is, the sacrifice of fools. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be what? Few. For a dream comes through much activity. And I love how he ends this. And a fool's voice is known by what? His many words. Please don't miss this. What Solomon is saying here is that because of all of life is hevel, it's smoke, it's like vapor. And since the only thing in this life that has real and lasting significance is our relationship with God, then it would behoove us to approach him in a manner that acknowledges that apart from him, we can't fully comprehend this world around us because it's hevel. So in other words, we need to approach God in a state of humility. So instead of being, Solomon is saying, so quick to tell God our plans and then asking him to bless our plans, we need to approach him in a spirit of humility as someone who recognizes there is nothing in this life real lasting value other than our relationship with God. In other words, he says, don't approach God as someone who has a grip on life, but rather as someone who is willing to admit that life has a grip on you. And that being the case, Solomon says, we should never come to God with our minds made up. And we come to God and we're simply asking him to bless our sacrifice. Solomon is saying, coming to God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made you with your mind already made up, asking God to sanctify, to bless your sacrifice, is bringing a sacrifice from a fool. How in the world can you make up your mind without coming to God first? And I love how God speaks the same kind of thing to Job, and he says, where were you when I created this vast universe? He's putting Job in his place. How dare you think that you really know what's going on. So Solomon says, when you and I come to God with our plans, and someone once said, when we make our plans and give them to God, God just laughs. How many times have we come to God with our minds already made up? God, this is what I want to do with my life. Bless it. Or God, this is the person I want to marry. Now bless it. I'll never forget when I was in college, we were in chapel in this big auditorium, and this young woman stood up in the middle of chapel in front of about 1,400 students, and she went to the microphone, and the young man that was standing there, she said to all, for all of us to hear, I am going to marry him. God showed me in a dream. And I asked God now to bless our union. Long story short, they didn't get married. He didn't hang around on the stage for very long after that anyway. But we're just as guilty. We're coming to God with our sacrifices, asking him to bless them. And God goes, no. What you really need to do is come in my presence and listen. Because I am the creator of the universe. Listen. And all the Bible tells us that we should bring our requests before God, and that's all well and good. But if we're only coming into the presence of God to speak to God and not have God speak to us, we're bringing the sacrifice of a fool. And the biblical definition of a fool is one who does not acknowledge the existence of God. So we're coming to God as if he's not God. And that's why when we're about to make decisions, important decisions, we should never come with our minds made up. We should always ask God, what do you want in this particular situation at this time? So Solomon says, don't talk so much, just listen. So Solomon is admonishing God's people, when you come in his presence, don't be so quick to tell God, just listen to God. Just keep silent. And listen. Do you know what's interesting about those two words, silent and listen? That both of these words are comprised of the very same letters. I don't think that was by accident. So in other words, in order to listen, we must first be silent. All the wives just said, amen. Amen, Pastor. You're preaching now, Pastor. Husbands, don't say a word, just look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. So Solomon counsels us that when we come to God, we should never be in such a hurry to come to him with our ideas and with our made-up minds and with our plans, but rather to seek the perspective of God. So when you come into the presence of God, don't be so quick to give God your plans. And if we just did more of that, we probably would have fewer requests.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Sacrifice of Fools. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Fellowship is not watching the game with family and friends. It's not sitting in the stands, but it's being on the field as a team member until the buzzer goes off and you go across the line victorious. That's fellowship.
You know, you don't win games by being a spectator. Next week, we hope you can listen in again as Charles Tapp shares a message about what happens when we come together as one body of believers. As he shares his message, bodybuilders. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.